How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. And we live in a society now where all we hear about is fake news. You don't trust CNN, you don't trust Fox, you flip over to ABC, you try whatever you can, you hear fake news, but in God's word, the good news in here is not fake. This is the real good news. And this is why Beautiful Feet is working in Zambia, because we want to share that good news in all that we do, in all that we say, in the activities, in what we take over in the container. We want to share that good news with the people in Zambia. And thank you for being part of that. And I know Dick and Clarice, they collect hundreds of pounds of scriptures and devotional magazines and books that we take over. And people from time to time, they'll ask, I'm going to jump all over today. Today isn't a sermon where you have 3 points and subpoints and all that. Today's a report. Okay? So you got to hang with me. We'll be jumping from different horses. And so we'll just go wherever the rabbit trail leads. So just hang in there. And yeah, we've done a little after 12. Oh, okay. Thank you. Oh, I remember you from last time. Yes. Yeah.
What? I first saw a machine with one of your singers, and I started sewing it.
Oh. See, now they've outlawed child labor. No child labor. You can't sew at 8. Oh. Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Well, even at my age, some things are a little too much. Wonderful. But the material we take over with, we always find people that can use the material. The devotional magazines and the New Testaments, we've now partnered with a chaplaincy team up in the Copper Belt, which is in the northern part of Zambia. And they are training pastors in caring for those in hospital for their spiritual needs. And so they take cases of our devotional magazines and New Testaments, and these pastors then, as they minister in the hospitals, pass these materials out in the hospitals. And after I returned in May, a pastor came down and picked up 10 boxes of devotional magazines and the New Testaments that we pass out in hospitals. But Beautiful Feet had its beginnings, as the PowerPoint illustrated, with equipping pastors. And that came to light when I went on a missions trip with the Gideons International of Canada, and we ended up in Zambia on one trip. And we were handing out New Testaments to pastors who didn't even have a Bible. And what they were doing was, these pastors, now you have to understand, I work in remote villages, not cities. I go out into the villages. Many of them, I am the first white person that they've seen. And so these are remote villages off the asphalt, on ox cart trails and whatever four-wheel drive will get in on. But these pastors would get together, a group of them, with one pastor who had a Bible, and they would write out their text and prepare a group sermon and then go back to their churches, sometimes 2 and 3 hours by bicycle, to preach in their little churches. And I came home, shared it with my wife, Verl, who's very much a part of this ministry, even though she hasn't gone to Zambia yet. She keeps everything going here at home. And so thanks, Verl. But I shared my burden with Verl, and we thought, now, what could we do? And I struggled for a year with, what difference can one person make? And even if I took over a dozen Bibles, a few commentaries, that's not even going to make a dent in Zambia. But then it hit me. First of all, it will make a significant difference to those few people who do get study Bibles. But I'm never really alone. We have had people come alongside us from all over Canada, from Nova Scotia and Newfoundland all the way to Vancouver Island, and I can think of their names right now, that have partnered with us, so I am never alone, even though I might be the one on the airplane going to Zambia. I am not alone. But that first trip that we went over was beautiful feet. I took 19 suitcases onto the airplane. So I understand your idea about overloading an airplane. And when I got to customs in Zambia, all they said, is all this yours? And I said, yeah, you can go. Never worried about it. But we took 68 pastor's kits to equip pastors. And from there, the ministry grew. We experimented that first year with a crusade. And from that crusade, we've now come to the point where we do a crusade one evening, and I often ask, well, how does this work, where you can start 19 churches in 14 days? So here's how it works. We do a crusade one evening, and during that crusade, we show the Jesus film. Then halfway through the Jesus film, I come on and do a gospel presentation. And these are people who have not heard the gospel before. They are spiritually literate. They don't understand the basics. You've got to start with creation, the fall of man, and go through the whole plan of salvation from the beginning. So that's what we do the first night. I do about a 30-minute talk, and then an altar call, and then we pray with the people that come forward. The next morning, we have a Bible study with them. And this last trip, we added anointing with oil from James, the pastor that came along with me, Pastor Martin. He said one of his gifts was praying with people. And, well, let's add that. So we started praying with people, and we'd have a lineup sometimes 4 and 5 hours of praying with people. Now, these people the night before accepted Christ, and now they're coming forward for prayer because overnight, they understood that God loves them. God cares. He hears their prayers, and he's eager to answer their prayers. And that, it was a big difference from what they were used to with the witch doctors. And so they came over, they came up for prayer, and we'd have 2 or 3 lines of people praying and anointing with oil, as commanded in James. And then sometimes on the third morning, we would have baptisms. And then the church would be born. So we started 19 churches. This last mission trip, we experimented with running 2 crusades at the same time. So they'd start one, and I'd do the gospel presentation, the altar call, and all that. Then they'd jump in the truck, go to the next village, which might be 15 miles away. And as soon as the first crusade, I like doing my presentation right after Nicodemus comes on the scene looking for God, because I have a good points there that I can hinge to. And then the next crusade that has started, when they get me there, it doesn't matter where they're at. When I appear, they stop the movie, and then we do the gospel presentation and the altar call, and that's working really good. It's a little harder on my voice. You can imagine on dirt, when you have some of our big crusades would be up to 2,000 people in a village, and they're on dirt, so there's a lot of dust. And then when 1,000 come forward or 400 come forward, to be prayed with for salvation, there is a lot of dust. So that takes its toll on my voice. No PA system. So you got to project your voice really good. I speak English. I have a translator with me that translates it into Chiwa, And he has to be louder than me. So sometimes he trades off with another gentleman that I travel with, and so that we can keep going that way. So our first goal was equipping pastors. The second was evangelism and church planting. And then the third one is humanitarian, where it aids the first two. There is so many hungry and needy people over in Zambia, I could use all our resources for food, but I had to establish some priorities, and so that's the priority we have. Now, I've completed 7 trips to Zambia. 6 of them have been with Beautiful Feet, and each time, of course, we learn different things, and each time God has opened different doors and blessed us in different ways. But we've been able to equip hundreds of pastors, hundreds and hundreds of pastors. This last container that went, we received 600 study Bibles, the Reformation Study Bible, which is 2,500 pages. And when we got to Zambia to give them out at the first pastors' conference, and we opened up the boxes, we found out they were all leather covered. When I ordered them, they said they were hard covered, and I get these free. I just have to pay for shipping. And when we got there, they were leather covered. So we could say maybe God did a miracle and changed the hard cover to leather cover in the container, or we could say maybe Gospel Coalition made an error, but whatever, God blessed, and these people, the pastors who got leather-covered Bibles, this was just unheard of for them. And those Bibles here in Canada would be well over $200 each. And so what a gift to get 600. I had a conference call with Gospel Coalition on Friday morning, and I think I will get 1,000 of them for the next container after that call. So this is just marvelous the way God is opening doors. We've started 39 churches in 2.5 years. We say 19 last year and 19 already this year. And we want to build on that when I return in October, starting more churches. Now, these remote villages do not have any churches. It is not my goal to build a church in competition to another evangelical church. These villages don't have any churches, no Catholic churches, no, which has been in Zambia for 150 years, 200 years. They don't have Dutch Reformed, which would come up from South Africa. In our area, we did find one village that had an old Dutch Reformed church, and so we did not go into that village at all. But these remote villages have no churches at all. And so we've started the 39 churches. We have installed pastors into all these churches. And I often am asked, where do you find this many pastors? Well, we started a year before we needed them, looking for places where we could find pastors. We lined up with 2 Bible colleges and 1 seminary, where we access pastors in these remote villages. To put a pastor from Lusaka or a city in there, they would not survive. They need to have bush skills and trade, because they're all bivocational. And so we work with these 2 Bible colleges. We equip them with textbooks and resources so they can train the pastors, and then we take the pastors and give them churches to minister in. So up to this point, we have not had a shortage of pastors. We did last year have one pastor that was killed a week after we installed him, and he was hit by a car while he was riding his motorcycle. And within 2 weeks, we had a new pastor for that church to shepherd it. So that was a tragic loss. But that is out of our control and certainly in God's hands. Now, you saw in the PowerPoint that we take the big blue barrels that you saw. Those have bags of vegetable mix, a soup mix in them, that gleaners, we access those from Cambridge, Ontario, and we take those over, and we hand those out to the people as a protein for their meal. It's not just vegetables. They add peas, beans, and lentils, so that runs about 14% protein, which is as good as ham, turkey, chicken, any of our primary sources of protein here. And so they use that to dip their chima in, which is their staple food, made out of the inside of the corn kernel, and they make it into a dough. They knead it with their hands and then dip it into this vegetable mix. They don't, in the bush, they don't use forks or knives or spoons. Everything is eaten with their hands and their fingers. And so that, and we have done over 2.5 million meals of that vegetable mix. Last trip, the refugees were coming from Congo, spilling into Zambia on their northern border. And so we shipped up 200,000 meals to help the Congo refugees along that border so they could survive in their refugee camps. So thousands have heard the gospel, and thousands have come to Christ. Just this last mission trip, we had over 20,000 people hear the gospel that came to the Crusades. And we had 15,000 that came forward to accept Christ. And people say, well, how do so many come forward? Remember, this is virgin soil. They have not heard the gospel before. And when you come from a culture where your witch doctor is the one you go to for everything, and he has no love, no concern, no vested interest in you other than what he can get out of you, and then they compare that to what God has to offer, our loving Heavenly Father, it's a big change. And they are ready for that change. My father was a farmer, and he would never pull a combine into a field until that field was ripe to combine. And I tell you today, Zambia is ripe for combining. God has worked in Zambia. Okay, it's been 52 years since they came out of the Commonwealth. They came out peacefully. In their constitution, the first phrase is that they are a Christian nation. But that is in title. That isn't in heart belief. And we have to get that from their documented paper or in their head to their hearts. And right now, the door is wide open in Zambia to do exactly that. They respond eagerly and willingly with open arms, open hearts. And when I think back of the history of China and how the missionaries went in and they were just having very fruitful, very productive time, all of a sudden communism came in and bang, the door was closed. The church didn't die in China, but the mission enterprise did. And we don't know how long Zambian doors will be open. All they need to do is have a change of government. The UN is pushing them hard to get that Christian phrase out of their constitution. And all it takes is a few changes, and all of a sudden that door can be closed. So that's why we're spending so much effort in Zambia. So I've explained how the Crusades work. I've explained how we obtain our pastors. And the next most common question that I'm asked is, who looks after these churches when you're back in Canada? And that's why we have two overseers in Zambia that look after these churches, Pastor Luke and Pastor Iwell. Pastor Luke pastors a big church in Chongwe, and He takes 2 months a year off to travel with me to do these church plants and to do crusades. And I don't know many churches here in Canada that would give their senior pastor, he has well over 1,000 people that he ministers to, and would give their senior pastor 2 months a year off to travel with some Canadian that flies in for 2 months a year and takes them off into the eastern province. And so I'm very grateful for Pastor Luke. He works tirelessly with our mission and with these churches. So he looks after them. And Pastor Iwell, he looks after the building, the construction, and he is also the area rep for us with these churches. And so between those two, those churches are looked after. The role we play as Beautiful Feet Ministry with the churches is once we start the church, they start making bricks. And they make these bricks out of clay that they mix with water. They build their own kilns and fire the bricks. And they get the trusses ready. Beautiful Feet supplies the cement. And then we supply half the cost of the roof, which combined, those two items cost about $570 for a church. They do all the labor. And I have watched them build a church. It's incredible. Like, children are helping, adults, the women, everybody is carrying bricks, and the bricklayers are just going, and you can watch the church go up in a matter of hours. And it's just a marvelous sight to watch a church being built. So that's the role we play in getting these churches built. Of the churches we started last year, 12 of them are now meeting in buildings. These buildings will hold from 200 to 400 people, and many of the churches are in that area of 200 to 400 people, and that's a year later after they were started. But when you have a village of 1,000 people, no radio, no TV, nothing to distract them, and Sunday morning rolls around, the village is at church. Some of the men will go out and work the fields, but the children, the women, and the men that don't have to work are there. And so it's just marvelous to see how God blesses. This last trip, Pastor Martin came along, and we took him to a church that was started last year on the spring mission. They built in the for last fall mission, and so we went back this spring to see how they're doing. And this is right along the Mozambique border, and we went in. When somebody travels with me, they take a lot of the pressure off me with the sermons and all that, so I don't end up working every day. So it was Martin's turn to preach. But he could not believe that in 1 year, well, less than a year, this church had grown so much spiritually. They had a choir that was singing hymns. The building was full. Now, mind you, they're sitting on a dirt floor, but the building was full. And he could not, he heard them praying. You don't understand the words they're saying, but you can certainly understand the passion they had as they prayed. But the singing is just unreal. They got music in every DNA cell they possess, and rhythm, and just, they're unreal. Their harmony is a little different than ours, so you have to adjust your ear. If you're used to Southern gospel music with a little bit of bluegrass in it, you might like it. But their harmonies are different. But boy, they got joy in their souls. And it is... What language? Yeah, they are. They do make a joyful noise. When they get going on their Congo drums, it is good. And I thought those things, you just hit them and they made this, but there's all different kinds of styles on playing those things. But no, it was a treat to go back to that church. Every trip I go to a couple churches and see how they're doing and spend an afternoon with the elders and the deacons to just encourage them in their work in the church. I do want to, we're sort of running shy on time, but I want to take a minute to talk about the sewing clubs that we've started. In Zambia, a man lives to about 45. That's his life expectancy, and then he's gone. The women often still have young children with them. And women in Zambia are looked after by their husbands. They don't have skills or trades on their own. Usually they don't finish school past grade 6 in the villages. And so they're really at a loss on how they can supply income and food for their families. And what we were finding out is as the children got hungrier and hungrier, some of the women were turning to prostitution, even within the church. And so we met and we decided something had to be done about this. So we organized sewing clubs to give them a trade. So we've been taking over sewing kits for 2 years now, year and a half, and just to teach them the beginnings of sewing. But now we're getting them in the areas that have electricity, we've been getting them electric sewing machines. And this last trip, we got them started sewing washable feminine hygiene kits. And they finally said, "Oh, Claire, now we know why you were teaching us to sew." So we have 5 electric sewing machines going. These ladies are sewing these kits. We worked on a price, and it works out to about 70 cents Canadian, 50 cents U.S. per kit for them to sew them. Then we take those kits and take them out into the villages, give them to the village girls free. Now the village girls can go to school every week of the month. And so we're helping the ladies make a little money so they don't have to resort to things that God isn't happy with. And the girls are reaching their potential because they're in school full time instead of missing 20% or 25% of the time. So the ladies over there, when I met with them, they were just ecstatic. First of all, they thanked me over and over. "Claire, thank you for taking an interest in girls and the women in Zambia." And from the first trip, when I came home and shared with Verl, I said, "Something's got to be done. These, like, I'm not worried about the boys. The girls' best day is today, and then it goes downhill from there." So we started catering to the girls with the dresses and the underwear, and now with these feminine hygiene kits. But they are so excited. They said, "We're helping our own people." And that's what I wanted them to catch on to. Because it makes no sense for me to buy the kits here in Canada and then ship them over there when I can get them made over there cheaper than I can get them for here. And so that is a wonderful project that we've started. Now, all this takes some financial resources. And as I shared with Dick last night, there's many things we can do if we had the funding. And we will never run out of opportunities. Zambia alone has 1.2 million orphans. And if you think of half of them being girls, man, I can't think of enough ladies to sew dresses and give them one dress or a meal or something tangible. But the need we will not run out of. So every day I'm faced with the challenge of prioritizing. Where do we use the limited funds that we have? So we do have financial needs. I shared with you about the buildings, the church buildings we put up. And so each one of those costs $570. And out of the 19 churches that we started this spring, I'm anticipating 10 or 12 of them will be built by the time I return in October. And so we need to send money over so they can build their churches. Also, when we're working in these villages, English Bibles and that are only of value to the pastors and the people who've studied English. But in these villages, because I use the translators because they don't understand English, we need to get Bibles to them in Chiwa. So we have allocated for each church, we want to take in 10 Bibles so that some people in the church have Bibles and can read them to others. Now, here in Canada, we might have 10 Bibles in each house. But over there, if we can get 10 to each church, and a Chiwa Bible costs us about $13.50 Canadian. The other thing is these feminine hygiene kits. Time we pay for the material, pay the ladies to make them, then we add a washcloth, bar of soap, and a pair of underwear for the ladies. Time we do all that, that comes out to about $3 Canadian. And so different people have been funding 100 of these kits for us to take in at $300. And so we'll be working on that. And then, of course, we have the expense of me going over twice a year. If people travel with me, they raise the support for themselves, or I'll raise it, but it doesn't come out of our beautiful feet budget. It's an additional budget. And so it costs about $14,000 for me to go over for 3 or 4 weeks. That includes my airfare. I stay in lodges with the blacks, and so I don't stay in fancy hotels. I mostly take my own food along, which includes Ensure and Boost, and now I take tins of flakes of ham, flakes of tuna, that kind of stuff. But each trip I'm coming back healthier because we're taking a little more food and I know what we can eat over there. So we have needs, but God has opened up a whole bunch of opportunities. And I am just delighted to be part of the ministry that God has called us all to. And that's to share the good news. That good news that has no fake news quality in it at all. All news, good news. All about Him. So I hope that report shows you what God is doing in Africa, in Zambia. I know I was blessed by the dress report. So God bless you this day. Consider what you can do in prayer, in giving, finding an opportunity, sowing, collecting scriptures, all kinds of things. Viril and I will be at the back, and we would be delighted to visit with you, answer any questions you have. And we have our last newsletters. You can take one of those home and then prayerfully consider your support. So thank you. Thank you for the invitation to come back. That's always a good sign. So God bless you this day. Amen.